I brought notes because I want to stay specific. When I spoke a few weeks ago, or I guess maybe it's been a few months ago now, I perceived a couple of things, and also by the Holy Spirit I discerned a couple of things. And I was talking to one of our leaders some time back, and one of the things I discerned was a desire here, even into a weariness, to grow on into the Lord and to see the great manifestations of the Holy Spirit and a move that will reciprocate around the world, if I might say that. I don't know that it'll be around the world, but it'll start here. And because of that thing that I discerned, Jeff, I want to say something before I start. That was testimony, brother. Amen. I appreciate you sharing that. And all things do work out for the good of those who love God. And it's going to work out. A good testimony is telling me what Christ has done for you. And that helps me. Now, sometimes we get off track and tell us what we're doing for God. That don't help me a bit. You want to help me tell me what Christ is doing for you, and that'll help me in my life, really. But as I was saying, I was talking to one of the leaders, and we were sharing together in my home when I was still a little under the weather about this weariness, a desire to go on in the Lord, even to a point that some have gotten a little weary. But that was it. And then several weeks later after that, I woke up one morning at about 4, and I knew, so I got up and I went down, but I didn't know what, and I was sitting there in the dark, and I started getting thoughts. So I turned my light on and started making little notes. Next morning happened again. I don't know why God operates 4 o'clock in the morning, but so then the third morning, it came again, and I started making a lot of notes now, and I'm just writing things all down, and I can't even interpret it sometimes later on what I write down, and then I have to put everything in order. And then I realized I was getting a word for us here, a corporate word, and I was going to play games with that and not tell anybody again that I had a word. And then I woke up in the hospital the morning they operated on me, drugged right out of this world, and I looked, and there's Harry. And the first thing came on my mouth was, I got a word. And Harry hasn't let me forget that word. So that's why I feel now, the Lord willing, after you get back from Heishwar, I might speak at least maybe one more Sunday. Jake just told me to take as many as I wanted, but it won't be too long. So I want to introduce to you the thought I have that can move us into a greater operation through the Holy Spirit about Christ. Now, the scripture I want to share with you, if you want to turn James. This is not what I'm going to talk about this morning. This is how we can get a movement there. I've lost James. He's here somewhere. There he is. I'm just going to read this one scripture. James 1:25. And this is what's got to start working. But here we go. Let me say this first. Everything that I say this morning, you've got to rely totally on the Holy Spirit to interpret this for you. Totally on the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not that great of a teacher. And when I get out of inspiration speaking, when I'm in there, I'm at home. But when I get in where I'm at this morning, we've got to have the Holy Spirit or it's not going to work. So let us just say a prayer right now. Our precious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graces, your love, and your mercies that you're continuously showing for us. And Father, we just present this corporate body to you this morning, that the power and the teaching authority of the Holy Spirit teach us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the scripture. But he that looks into the perfect, law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. He that looks into the perfect. Now that word perfect there means, sort of means complete law. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase that. He that looks into the completing law of liberty. And what that means is the law of liberty can complete this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you what the law of liberty is not first. I mentioned this a few years back, and some thought I was talking about a license to sin. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. You don't need a license to sin. If you're going to sin, you're going to sin. Now, you can't even blame it on the devil. We used to say the devil made me do it. He didn't make you do it. You did it because you wanted to. So this law of liberty is, here's what it is. Where the law of liberty is operating, it can complete what it's supposed to do in your life. Now I want to read another scripture to you, and I've read this one to you many times over the years. Now, I'm in Corinthians, but just listen. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror of the Lord, are being transformed into His image from glory to glory. Now, the law of liberty, when it's operating in our lives, will keep transforming us into His image. But before that can happen, there's a process that has to take place. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And you've been reading, understand, Romans 6, 7, and 8. Bible scholars around the world says that Romans 8 is the greatest chapter in the whole Bible. And I have a tendency to agree with that. Now, I have wrestled with Romans 6, 7, and 8 years. I've asked Stephen Kahn about Romans 6, 7, and 8. And I said, Stephen, do we ever get out of the battle? And if Stephen answers you and he's not real precise, that means there's room for you to think about it. He says, it seems like we are in the battle quite a bit. And I asked Norman Grubb a couple of times. And I said, Norman, do we ever get out of Romans 7? He said, we're out of it. Move on. We're more than conquerors. That's what Romans 8 says. Yet I find us somewheres in between from time to time. That's what I want to talk about this morning. This is the process that I wish to talk about this morning. And the first one is Romans 6, and I'm going to read 6, 1 through 11 as soon as I find it. And if you read it, and you all sure you read it, I really didn't have to take the time to read this, but I think it's best that I do. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's really some question, isn't it? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or do you know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into His death? Now our fellowship practiced baptism in the water. But this is why we do it. It's a symbol of a great spiritual truth that's happened in our lives. Now, I'm going to say this several times. We are dead. We are dead. There's nothing you can do about that. We were baptized into His death. Well, let me read on. And therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism and death, just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That's quite hard statements when we look into our own lives sometimes, isn't it? For he who died has been freed from sin. We that are dead are freed from sin, is what we're saying. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Someone's going to have to get me a glass of water. I talk so little, believe it or not. My wife and I sit home at hours and never talk. She has a lonely life living with me. And I do start to speak some. I was talking to someone the other day. My throat started getting stopped up. It's not used. But now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, here we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ, to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in Romans 6, Paul is dealing with the death of sin. In Romans 7, he's going to be dealing with death of the law. And let me say this in case I forget it. You never know the reality, the full reality of 6, if you don't move into the reality of 7. Dead to sin. Dead to the law. And that's where our problem comes, is we're there. But let me say this first. Paul teaches us that we're dead to sin, dead. Teach sin through Jesus Christ. Now, if you read Isaiah 53, there's 12 things in Isaiah 53 that tells you that Christ will do and suffer for us, instead of us, I might say. But I want to read just a couple from the New Testament. In Matthew 20:28, it says, he gave his life as a ransom for many. John, this is terrible. Keeps up and start and let the elders pray. John 10:15, he laid down his life for the sheep. Acts 20:28, for the church, he purchased the church with his blood. And then in Romans, he said in Romans 5, 6 and 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what I'm saying here is, nowhere in the Bible does it say you crucify yourself. There's no such, it's an impossibility. We are dead to sin through Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin. Watchman Nee, I read years ago, was studying and he studied and he'd been saved 14 years. Some of you about have read the same book, I don't know. And all of a sudden he realized he was dead. And he jumped up out of his study and ran down the steps and out on the street with his hands in the air. Can you see an Oriental person being too excited like that, you know? And he was shouting, I'm dead. I'm dead. Praise God, I'm dead. See, we are dead, but it's an act of faith. We are dead, but it's an act of faith. And when I was a boy, people used to say, he's dead as a doornail. I don't know where that ever come from. Dead as a doornail. I remember as a boy, young boy, my grandfather died, Grandfather Hudson. And I remember standing there looking at him. Thank you. God supplies, right? And I remember looking at my grandfather and thinking, why don't he just get up and walk? He don't look dead to me. He's got everything he ever had. There he is, body, head, hair, hands, eyes. And I couldn't understand why he couldn't move. And that was my first begin to realize dead. Well, that's how dead we are. Just as dead as my grandfather was, we are dead to sin. So Paul says, how can we go on to sin then if we already died to sin? Now, this is where we begin to get into the Bible a little bit. But I think some of this teaching by crucifying yourself, in Luke 9:23, Christ said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, when we think taking up the cross, we think cross crucifixion right away. But what that really means there is, now listen to what I'm saying. What that really means right there is, you deny yourself daily of your legitimate rights in this world. Let me say that again, in case I say it wrong. To take up your cross daily is where you deny your legitimate rights in this world to follow Him daily. Now, I'm going to give you a Bible. Everybody in this room, every man, woman, whatever, has a right to make a living, don't they? In fact, the Bible says if you don't, you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your family. But what if the Lord speaks to your heart and says, I want you to quit work. Now, there's a young man that's not here this morning. Came to me a few years back, and he said, I feel like I should get out of this situation. And he explained it to me. He says, what shall I do? I said, don't ask me. I wouldn't give you advice on that, because you've got to live with it. I don't. And I don't want to have to live with, you know, that thought on my mind. But he made a decision to get out of that situation. And the Lord has blessed him. He's blessed him and his family. And there's miracles in his family. But I want to tell you another true story about a man I know. And I'll tell you who he is. He's not around here right now. Lou Wright. How many of you know Lou Wright? He's an experience in himself. Well, many years ago, Lou Wright graduated from Bible college. And he graduated a year after I did. And most of us were excited, you know, we're going into ministry. And God had opened the door for me, and I was already in the ministry. Lou graduated, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, I want you to go serve. Well, what he did, he rented a little house trailer up on the side of a mountain in Pennsylvania. And the Lord says, I want you to wait right here. But it happened that during this time, Lou visited us, but he didn't tell us anything. And we used to have a little garden, and we gave him a couple of baskets of potatoes. And we found out later, that's all they lived on for quite a while. They said they had potatoes all kinds of ways. They had them fried, they had them baked, they had them mashed, and made potato cakes, and then potatoes run out. And by now, a lot of people are getting very critic of our brother. God didn't tell you that. But he hung in. Food ran out, and then one night, in the night, in the darkness of the night, people started showing up, bringing food, bringing finances. And some stayed overnight. Me and my wife stayed overnight. But the greatest miracle to me of all that was I had a little girl, and she loved nuts, cashew nuts. And would you know there was a nice big can of cashew nuts in there? And she was, you couldn't believe how, was what did, not only did Lou learn, but so did she. Right after that, he opened a ministry to that brother that you wouldn't believe. And I don't have time to tell you about the people that he ministered to. But anyhow, taking up your cross daily is where you deny your own legal rights here in this world. As young people with us, and recently there was some young people in my home with our parents, and they're beautiful young girls, like most young girls are. Beautiful boys are ugly, but girls are always pretty. And we're talking about how pretty they were, and they were probably going to start a date. And I said, you listen to your father and mother first, but then come to me. Because if you think your mother and father are strict on dating, wait till you hear what my opinions are and my views based on the Bible. And they didn't agree to come through me. But take up your cross daily. There's going to be times in your young lives you're going to have to lay things down. Just simple. Simple obedience. I know a guy a few years ago who was a tremendous baseball fan. Loved baseball like you wouldn't be, and wouldn't miss a game. And one season, game was starting, and God spoke to his heart and said, no baseball. And he didn't like that. But anyhow, he went with it. And then when the World Series came on that year, weeks later, months later, the Lord spoke to him and said, you can watch the World Series. And this guy got ready, got him some sodas and got him some treats and eats. And he gets all ready and gets in front of the TV, shutting the baseball, getting first balls thrown out. And within 20 minutes, he got up and went to study and started studying. Baseball didn't mean a thing to him anymore. He had found something because he laid that down one time. He picked something up and didn't even know it. He picked up a desire to more to know the Lord. So we're dead in Christ. We're dead. And I think most of us understand that. There's a problem, Romans 7. And I'm going to read. I think I'll read Romans 7 through 12. Therefore, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now we're talking about the death of law. The death of the law. Putting the law to death. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would have known covetousness. I would have not known covetousness unless the law said thou shalt not covet. But sin taking opportunity by commandments produced in me a matter of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandments came, sin reverted and I died. Revived and I died. And the commandment which was brought to bring to life, I found brought death. For sin taking occasions by the commandments deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. Now, the secret of Paul in Romans, I'm going to read this freedom to you in Romans 7. In 7:5 he says, I am in the flesh. 7:14 he says, I am carnal. 7:18 he says, in me that is my flesh dwelleth no good things. Now, there's the I. Now, the problem is the I. And if you read this Romans 7, the last 10, 12, 14 verses, did you notice all the I's in there? How many times Paul said I? He said I 20-some times, I think. But then he gets into Romans 8 and he never says I again. So, in Romans 7, now let me say this. If you try to serve God with your flesh, you're putting yourself under law. Now, I'm going to quote Watchman Nee again here. He said, why did God give us the law? And he says in the book, I say this reverently. He gave us the law so we could break it. Now, even the Ten Commandments, if any one of you could keep, say, 9 of them. Anybody here keep 9? Let's move it down to 7. 5. I don't see any volunteers here. The truth is, if you break one little bit of the law, you're guilty of all of 10 of them. You stand condemned by all 10 of them. And so the law was given to us to prove to us that we can't keep the law. We cannot keep the law. No way. Yet, if I try to serve God in the flesh, I'm putting myself under a law, and a lot of people, here's where our problem is. A lot of people do this. Now, why did I appreciate Jeff's testimony? He told me what Christ is doing for him. He didn't tell me what he's doing for Christ. See, and that's flesh. Now, over the years, I know of a brother was reading and somewhere he got the idea if he got up every morning at 5 o'clock and studied the Bible, God would bless him. So he started to get up every morning at 5 o'clock. And about 3 weeks later, he was going to work dead tired. Sleepy. Why? Because see, he was trying to serve God in the flesh and he put himself under a law. And the law was killing him. The law was killing him. Now, if God calls you to 5 o'clock in the morning, you'll get up 5 o'clock every morning, go to work by 8, refreshed. There's the difference. See, you make a law unto yourself, and then when you can't keep the law, you begin to condemn yourself. Same way with fasting. Some people get the idea, if I fast, God will bless me. Let me tell you something. You fast in the flesh, and all you'll get is hunger. You won't get a blessing. You won't get nothing. But if the Holy Spirit calls you to fast, you will be blessed. And you will fast and rejoice while you're fasting. And won't even hardly think of food. See, but if you say, I'm going to fast, you put yourself under a law. And that law, it will kill you. It will condemn you. And it will cause you to almost, I don't like this word, it's not in the Bible, I don't think. I hate it, but it'll cause you, I won't say it, I'll just say it cause you to go the other way. I wasn't going to say the word backslide, because I don't like that word. I don't believe in that word. But anyhow, if you put yourself under the law, it'll cause you to move further away from God than closer to God. And hinder the law of liberty of creating into you a greater image of Jesus Christ. Now, what is grace? Grace is when God does something for you. Law is when we do something for God. And when we try to serve God in the flesh, that becomes a law. And this law must die. It must die. And what do we mean by law? Law of gravity. I drop something, anywhere in the world, it'll fall right straight to the ground. That's a law. A law is something that works every time, regardless. You begin to serve God in the flesh, and you have put yourself under law. Now, we've all been listening to Ed Miller for years, and you already know this. It's all done. Christ has done it all. He's completed everything. All I have to do is accept by faith, and He will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, cause these things to begin to work in me. Now, in Romans 6, Paul illustrated this thing, the master, bondservant. He said, once you were servant of sin, now then you become a servant of Christ. And that's how he illustrates that. In Romans 7, he uses the case of the married woman. And her husband died. But now she's free to do what she wants. And the illustration here, Christ is a new husband. That's what that's for. Christ is a new husband. Now then, you're free under Christ now. The old husband is dead, and our new relationship is in Christ. And I think this is where a lot of us stagger only too much about not knowing that we got to die to law. Law has... The only value law has to us as believers is to prove to us that we can't keep the law. And when you know you can't keep the law, you know that no good thing dwells in you, then the process of the law of liberty begins to operate more fully. I'm not saying it's not operating back here, but I'm saying it starts to operate more fully. Now, in the stages of growing up, and one of the epistles, there's three stages. Children, young men or sons, and fathers. Now, as a young believer, got a lot of enthusiasm, got a lot of ambition, and a lot of dreams and a lot of hopes. And that's good. That's real good. And somewhere in there, we'd be learning to get... I can't get over Jeff's testimony this morning. I was ready to go home when he got done. I don't even be saying anything now. we began to give testimony. And while we were little children and living at home, we say, Mom, Dad, can we go to the mall? Mom, Dad, can we go shopping? Can we do this? Then later on, that person grows up and becomes a teenager. And he says, Mom and Dad, can I go to the mall? Meaning, you stay home. I'd like to go to the mall, and that's good. But that's when the I begins to assert itself in us, if we're not careful. And we begin to surround ourselves with what we want and what we need. And it's a hard thing to break. It's a hard thing to break, because I live with me all the time, every day. And so I have to keep remembering to give up my legitimate rights and take up my cross and follow him, and that's what that means. Now, as I said a while ago, if you break one of the commandments, you broke them all. So law is only here to prove to us that we can't keep them. So now then, we're dead. We've got to die to the law. And the worst law is these self-governing laws. Now, I'm not saying if you decide to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray that it's wrong. I'm saying you're beginning to obey your flesh and you're putting your law on yourself. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's good either. But a lot of times we think, oh, he gets up at 5. And listen, even when the Lord wakes me up, sometimes I lay there and argue for a few seconds and say, are you sure? I'd rather go back to sleep. But nevertheless, that's why we got to know that there's no law in our life. Now, does that mean I'm lawless? No. Mm-mm. No. Can't be. Can't never be that. But now the law of liberty begins to work in my life. And now I begin to see things that I never saw before. And now then I'm moving towards Romans 8. Now, Romans 8 starts with this statement. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, there's your clue. Walk according to the Spirit. Now, anytime you think you want to do something, clear it with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, He'll let you know. He's faithful to answer your prayers. And that way, you keep denying the I. You may think it's a good idea, but wait till you see what the Holy Spirit says. There is no condemnation. Now, that's quite a word, isn't it? The other day, we were working, and the conversation quickly came up. We didn't talk too long. We don't talk much when we work, but conversation came up. One person said, I can remember some of the bad things I did in my life. And this other person says, not me. I try to forget them right away. And it's not easy to do, is it? But nevertheless, no condemnation. Now, I just want, when I was teaching in a Bible college or Bible school, I guess it was on Long Island, in the chapel, I had wrote on the wall, be holy as I am holy. And when someone else was speaking, you sit back there and you could see that sign. And then, as a teacher there, sometimes we'd have to speak. And I used to dread walking up to there and having to look at that, because I know I wasn't holy. And I still know I'm not holy. But I know something else. There's no condemnation in me if I walk after the Spirit and do the things of the Lord. Now, I learned a few years ago, when you're ministering, you like to be successful. You do. You like to give good messages. You like to help people. But I found out it made me feel good, too. And that's wrong. That can lead to trouble. And I like what a man says one time. I heard a person say, he just shows up. And whatever happens, happens, it happens. And I agree with that. I take no credit, but I don't take any blame either. If it's a tremendous service and people are blessed, I don't take the credit. And if it's a lousy service and people are upset, I still don't take it any blame. I stay just as neutral as I can and keep the eye subsided as much as I possibly can. So I think for the process to go on, well, let me just say this about Romans 8. Let me read... Well, it starts with, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, but listen, yea, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, whether heights or depth or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we move from the I into no condemnation. And then here's the next thing, that if the Lord willing and I speak, after Heshua, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Now, to us that are weary and wants to move on and see the full glory of Christ, the world needs to see a corporate body that are conquerors. Now, Bob started with mentioned the river. I mentioned the river the last time we spoke, that somebody, wasn't me, but somebody in this fellowship one night at a meeting spoke about river of life flowing out of these doors. And I didn't say that. And I want to tell you this. A few years back, me and my wife went down to Florida and visited with some friends, Bob Harvey and his wife. And we went to church on Sunday morning. And as soon as you walked in, that church was alive. I mean, it was noisy, but it was alive in the Holy Spirit. And there was a move going on in there. And I sat down and thought, I'm at home. And I was feeling, and then all of a sudden, the pastor, I never did figure out, probably Bob Harvey told him, signaled me to come up on the platform with him. And I didn't want to get up on the platform. But I didn't want to make a scene, so I got up and sat down in the back of him. And then all of a sudden, he turned around and he was saying something, and I wasn't really listening to what he was saying. And then I realized he was expecting me to get up and say something. And I got up and I said this, true story. I said, when I was walking across the parking lot, I saw a river coming out of these doors. And then I said a few things to condition the river. I want to tell you about that church. That was a little old building then. They had tore that thing down out of necessity. They had built a building of an immense, enormous size. Not a fancy building, just enough to get people into worship. And the water is still flowing out of that fellowship. But they had become more than conquerors. They had become more than overcomers. Now here, we've heard that word overcomer, and here's what I think. We overcome sin through Jesus Christ. We overcome the law by not making a law unto ourselves. Then we know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And then we begin to realize nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then we find out we are more than conquerors. Now the world needs this kind of thing today. There has to be established somewhere a strength. There has to be a corporate body somewhere that wants to go on and see the manifestations of Jesus Christ in their life. And their private life, their personal life, but also in the corporate body. Now then, I believe that the clue is no more law in your life. No more trying to serve God in the flesh. Don't even try to please God. Just be obedient to the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and everything will come in full swing to the glory of Christ. Amen? I think that's about all I want to say. I do want you to keep reading this. I do want you to ponder on these things. And a week or two, whenever you get back, whenever it seems to please the Lord, we'd like continue along this thought, the law of liberty. Now, the law of liberty is mentioned several times in the New Testament. Now, I forgot to say this, and I'll say it now. There's several laws in the New Testament once you get familiar with. For instance, there's the law of sin and death. We've been talking about that. And here's the law. You sin, death. Where there's sin, there's death. That's the law. It works every time. There's the law of the Holy Spirit. What's that law? Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there's life. Every time. You show me the move of the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you life. There's the law of Christ. How many have thought about that one? What is the law of Christ? If the law of Christ is operating in your life, you no longer become self-serving, you serve only others. That's the law of Christ. There's several laws, and I want you to think about those different laws. And they all apply to every one of us. But the greatest thing is, the death of the I, the death of law. Please don't come under any law. Please don't come. Be free. Be free. Be open to the things of the Holy Spirit, that you might just continue to grow, and everyone will begin to see Christ. And as I started to say a while ago, when we're little children, we want to do things. And when we're young Christians, we give testimony, and sometimes we get into giving testimonies of what we did or what we're doing for God. And they got a place, I guess. But I like his testimony. What Christ is doing for him. That's the secret. And there, the law of I is dead right now in him. And I hope it's never resurrected. I hope he never gives a sin a place to let him say I again. Amen? Be thinking about these things. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your blessed assurance and the confidence and the knowledge to know that all things are completed in Christ. And Lord, we pray that we truly know that we're dead to sin, that we're dead to the law, and we're alive unto Christ. And sure as we've been baptized in his death, we've been now put in his resurrection. And they that walk now in the Spirit and not in the flesh will always know the victories of Romans 8, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. So Father, we ask you to continue to complete this work in us. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. I do know there's some young people, not really young, that are looking into this law of liberty, and they're making their time of study and praise and worship. And I encourage them to keep on looking into it and come back and keep looking in there and touch the hem of his garment, come back and share with us. Amen.